Chapter 6, In War Time. In the year 1861, the terrible Civil War broke out in this country, and North and South were for a time divided. My father was past the age for active service and could not join the army as he would have liked to do, but he was able to help a great deal, first by going, at Governor Andrews' request, to examine into the condition of the Union soldiers in the field, and later by helping to found the famous Sanitary Commission, the forerunner of the Red Cross, and taking part in its labors. This duty took him to battlefield, camp, hospital, and prison, and wherever he went, he shed the light of his wisdom and the fire of his patriotism. My mother, too, longed to help her country. At first she did not know how she could do this, except by doing what all the women and children were doing in those days, making clothing and sending comforts to the soldiers in camp and field. Soon, however, she found a way of her own. In the late autumn of this year, 1861, she went to Washington with my father and a party of friends, among them Governor Andrew, who was called the Great War Governor. One day they drove out of the city to see a review of the troops. It had hardly begun when the alarm was given. Some of the Union soldiers nearby had been surrounded and surprised by the enemy. The review was given up, and some troops sent to the rescue of their comrades. The rest of the army marched back to Washington, and the carriage containing Governor and Mrs. Andrew, my mother, and the Reverend James Freeman Clark returned also, moving at a foot pace, the soldiers marching on either side and filling the roadway. My mother and her friends began to sing some of the well-known war songs, among them, John Brown's Body Lies a-Moldering in the Grave. This seemed to please the soldiers, who cried out, "Good for you," and took up the song themselves. Mr. Clark said to my mother, "Mrs. Howe, why do you not write some good words for that stirring tune?" "I wish I might," said my mother. Very early the next morning, when the east was still gray, my mother awoke and found to her amazement that lines of poetry seemed to be shaping themselves in her mind. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." She lay quite still, and the words went on, grouping themselves into lines, the lines flowing on into verses. By and by the whole poem was complete in her mind. Then she said to herself, "I shall lose this if I don't write it down immediately." She rose at once, found a sheet of paper and an old stump of a pen which she had had the night before, and began to write down the lines almost without looking, as she had often done while watching by us children in our sleep. "Having completed this," she says, "I lay down again and fell asleep, but not without feeling that something of importance had happened to me." Something of importance, indeed, not to her alone, but to her whole country. The Battle Hymn of the Republic was printed in the Atlantic Monthly. Most people were too busy just then to read poetry, but my mother heard that her verses were making their way into the camps and being sung by the soldiers, and she was well content. Among those who read them was Chaplain McCabe, a good and earnest man who was about to devote his time and strength to the service of his country. He was so much impressed by the poem that he learned it by heart. Soon after, he went to the front with his regiment, was taken prisoner at Winchester while caring for the wounded, and sent to Libby Prison. Here he was confined with many other Union soldiers in a large, bare room, like a loft in a warehouse. There was no furniture in it. The prisoners sat on the floor by day and slept on it by night without mattress or pillow. One evening, the officer in charge of them told them that the Union armies had just sustained a terrible defeat. This filled them with sorrow, and they gathered together in little groups, some sitting on the cold, bare floor, some standing by the narrow windows to get a little light, and talked over the sad news with heavy hearts. As they sat thus in darkness and sorrow, the Negro who waited on them came in, and bending over one of the groups seated on the floor, whispered something in their ears. The news that they heard, he said, was false. The Union armies had triumphed, had won a great and glorious victory. The glad tidings spread like wildfire through the gloomy vault, Men wept and laughed, embracing one another, wild with joy and hope. And Chaplain McCabe, his heart lifted up in thanksgiving, lifted up his voice also, a noble one, and began to sing the poem he had so lately learned. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Every soul in that prison knew the tune, and every voice joined in the chorus that rang out upon the night air. Glory, glory, hallelujah! Glory, glory, hallelujah! Glory, glory, hallelujah! His truth is marching on. That was a happy night in Libby prison, for the victory was that of Gettysburg. By and by, Chaplain McCabe was released and came to Washington. Here he gave a lecture in which he told about the things he had seen and done on the field and in prison. Among other stirring tales, he told of the scene in Libby prison, and once more, to a vast audience of loyal people, he sang the battle hymn of the Republic. The effect was magical. People sprang to their feet, wept and shouted and sang with all their might, and when the song was ended, above all the tumult was heard the voice of Abraham Lincoln, crying while the tears rolled down his cheeks, "Sing it again." So the battle hymn sang itself into the heart of the nation, and today, as I need not tell you, it is sung in church and school and home throughout the length and breadth of the land my mother loved. She wrote many other poems about the war. One of them, The Flag, was always a favorite of hers and of mine, so I shall print two stanzas from it here. The Flag. There's a flag hangs over my threshold whose folds are more dear to me than the blood that thrills in my bosom its earnest of liberty. And dear are the stars it harbors in its sunny field of blue as the hope of a further heaven that lights all our dim lives through. The flag of our stately battles, not struggles of wrath and greed, its stripes were a holy lesson, its spangles a deathless creed. 'Twas red with the blood of freemen, and white with the fear of the foe, and the stars that fight in their courses 'gainst tyrants, its symbols know.